All right, that was Boxcar Hollow with Fill Your Heart. Before that, we heard Jewel. Jewel with Who Will Save Your Soul. And, now we're listening to the birds because it's time for the Garden Conversation. And we have Melissa Aronson.
Good morning. Good morning.
Blythe.
Hey, hi. Good morning.
Blythe Carter.
Blythe Carter. I want to say Blythe Danner because that's the only other Blythe that
No, not that one.
Not the actress.
No movies here.
No movies. Well, you should. Your orchards and your gardens are just fabulous.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. How did you fare this summer?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. It was a nice summer.
Yeah. And that's actually what we're going to kind of talk about. So anyway, happy day after Halloween. I don't think gardeners are afraid during Halloween because we are able to garden. And that's scary. At least here, pick up a leaf and there's a giant slug or just dealing with all of the weather and everything. So I don't think much frightens gardeners that
had any kind of success. No, we deal with all sorts of scary stuff already.
This summer brought about all kinds of challenges. We had such a cold, dry winter last year and the ground froze down so deeply. And then the spring was cold and the first part of the summer was cold. And then a switch was turned on about the 1st of July and we had a beautiful last part of the summer and way into the fall.
Longest into the fall I've seen.
Oh, it was gorgeous. Yeah. No, I think we were kind of getting tired. The gardeners were getting tired.
Yes. I was like, no, I don't have to really mow my lawn again, do I?
really? So now we're watching the snow march its way down the mountains. The frost is upon us and the north wind is upon us. So, Blythe, as you think back over this year, what were your gardening successes?
Well, this year was a wonderful year, actually, for gardening, despite that cold spring. Once it warmed up, I had great success with bush beans. Runner beans, they just went crazy in my garden. Potatoes, carrots, tomatoes, peppers, they all loved that long, extended fall. And I got quite a few apples from my apple trees. So.
Yay.
Yeah.
And these, how old are these apple trees now?
Most of them are between 3 and 4 years old.
Okay.
And the 3 and 4 year old apple trees, they gave me at least a dozen nice size apples. You know, you go in the grocery store, you get those nice size apples, and that's what I got. So.
Oh, good for you. So on your bush beans, do you let them stay on the vines until they dry up, or what do you do?
No. I pick them when they're nice and.
Mm-hmm. For like string beans.
Not
dried beans.
No, I like the string beans.
Does anybody grow dry beans around here?
Well, maybe accidentally.
Yeah, I've done that a couple times.
I have too. I have some peas that dried up. Yeah.
With your apples, did you thin the apples?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
When they flower, after they actually set the fruit, I figure the bees can have fun with all the flowers. When you actually see the little tiny fruitlet starting, you go to each bunch and eliminate it down to just one apple. So remove all the smaller ones and leave just one apple there in each cluster of flowers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how far apart do you have the apples?
I didn't have too much of a problem with distance between apples, but I try about 6 inches at least.
Okay. So if you spread your hand out, your thumb and your little finger, that gives you a nice little.
And my trees are still fairly small at this stage, so I was going for about a dozen to 15 apples per tree. The tree was quite happy to support that. Smaller trees, there's someone really super dwarfing rootstock. I only let them bear, a couple apples because the tree just can't handle coping with more fruit than that. It just can't support it.
Yeah, you don't want to break limbs, and you want the tree to really still be putting a lot of its energy into growing for the following year.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And is there anything special you do in the winter to keep the branches from breaking?
With some of the trees, like Japanese plums, particularly, I tie the limbs up, the thin spindly limbs up, because the snow load can snap them off.
Right.
And I put wraps around the bottom just to protect them from, you know, little rodents and stuff like that. That's basically what I do. I pruning them so that they don't get really lanky and long and skinny enough. That makes a big difference too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you prune in the spring?
Prune in the spring and in the summer. Depending on the type of fruit tree, I'll prune. Last time I'll prune would be June or July, depending on the type of tree.
Okay. All right. So you had good luck with that. And the other successes that you had, anything that stood out this year?
I had so many potatoes, I don't quite know what to do with them all.
I know. I had a terrific crop of potatoes, and I have a lot of Tlingit potatoes. Anybody that wants some to plant in the spring, let me know.
All right, I might take you up on that offer.
Yeah, beautiful. yeah. I even planted some. I planted the ones I intended to plant, and then I had a bunch that from the year before that sprouted, and I stuck them in the ground and got just amazing potatoes out of my own now organic, both Tlingit and Yukon Gold.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. Yeah. Good. Yes. It was a great year for potatoes.
Yeah. So what are you doing now to prepare for winter besides what you just talked about with the trees?
Well, basically, I've done most of the stuff that needs to be done by now. But what I did do is I put a lot of seaweed on stuff, and then manure for my chickens and ducks. And the nice thing about this time of year is you can take normally chicken manure. It's hot. You can't put it directly on plants because it'll burn them. Mm-hmm. But at this time of year, you can throw as much manure on as you want. And it'll winter go over the winter, and that actually breaks it down. So in the spring, it'll be usable for the plants and won't hurt them.
Do you cover your beds?
I do. I cover them with the manure and whatnot. Yeah.
Okay, but not with tarps or anything.
No, I don't. I haven't bothered doing that. So.
Yeah. Okay. So seaweed. Are you using any leaves at all?
I don't have a whole lot of leaves to use at this stage, so I haven't been using leaves. But once I do have enough, I'll definitely
start doing that. Yeah. Okay. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm coughing here, so people are taking
nurse
care.
Nurse Joni.
Yeah, Nurse Joni's taking care of me. Anything else that you're doing now to prepare for winter just in general with your hardscape, for instance?
Oh, yeah. Oh, putting away the hoses. That's very important right now before they freeze. You don't want them to freeze because that'll cost you a lot of a lot next year.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way when I forgot to take a hose off and it froze back into the pipe into the house.
Oh, wow.
That's
yes.
an expensive lesson.
That is an expensive one. Yeah. And then just starting to record what happened this year so you know for next year, you know, what you need to do, what not to do, that kind of stuff, what worked out well and that all that.
Yeah.
Start doing research for the following year.
It's hard in the middle of winter to remember what we had going on in the summer.
Exactly. So. Or where you planted something. Did I plant that in that bed or that bed? Did I, you know.
Yeah.
Because record it now while it's fresh in your brain.
That's right. Because we want to rotate things. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Something I did yesterday was to go get some reflectors and put them up on the outside of my electric fence. It's around my compost area so that the snowplow guy can where the fence is if we get a really deep snow.
So. That's a really good idea, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so time to get everything moved and out of the garden. We're supposed to have some pretty hard freezes this coming week. And
oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, containers of water that are sitting outside need to get emptied out. I'm telling myself what I need to do today. everything that will blow away or get covered with snow and become tripping hazards. Yeah, and something else to really pay attention to is that leaves, when they freeze, are really slippery.
Mm-hmm, they are.
So make sure that you get all of the leaves off of steps and out of pathways where you might be walking.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This is like the safety report.
It's
I like
almost,
this.
Yeah.
I like this.
There are safety issues to pay attention to.
Uh-huh.
And putting markers in where you have raised beds and so on so that somebody snow plowing will remember where all of those things are. You'll remember where they are and mm-hmm. you know, be able to find them and so on. So are you getting any starts ready for the plant sale in May?
At this stage, I am not, but I will start doing that in February. Yeah, mm-hmm. I start planting all the herbs and the things that take a long time to either germinate or just to establish themselves. That'll start in February and go on until the plant sale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about cuttings for hardwoods?
I did most of that in the spring, actually. That's something to do when you're pruning. Just go ahead and prune off what you need and what you want, like especially with currants and gooseberries and things like that.
Okay. Could you explain what you're talking about?
So when you want to propagate, say you want to propagate a currant that
okay.
you have,
uh-huh.
What you can do is in the spring, when you're pruning it back, you mm-hmm. take one of the limbs that you've pruned off, prune it down to a bit smaller so the plant could be supported, and then just shove it in the ground somewhere and where it's going to stay moist, and it'll root.
Every place along a stem where you'll see where the little leaves have come out.
Mm-hmm. Those little bumpy things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All of those little nodules will put roots out.
Yep.
So when you do a cutting and you stick it in soil, whether it's into a pot or into the ground, mm-hmm. you just make sure that you bury down a couple of those nodules so that the roots can come out from a couple of those.
Yep, yep.
Yeah,
and
then you'll get your cuttings. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And you wait and do that in the spring.
Yeah, and so basically the ones that I, for the plant sale, they're ones from the previous year.
Okay.
Yeah, because the ones that at the plant sale wouldn't have any roots on them, and obviously that's not going to work.
Yeah, yeah, so you started those basically a year ahead.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It takes them about 2 or 3 months to actually root.
And do you have those in pots or in the ground?
I do both. Mostly I put them in pots and then I actually dig a hole in the ground and then cover them up in one of my garden beds so that they're protected over the winter.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. Let's see. Anything else? I've been doing planting bulbs in pots for spring.
Oh.
Yes. You'd mentioned that.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So I've now over a number of years figured out which kinds of flowers will do well in my house in the spring, and those are miniature daffodils. Not the regular daffodils, you just get too leggy, but the miniature daffodils, hyacinth, tulips, and narcissus. So I bought those, made sure when I got them that the bulbs had not frozen, because sometimes they've frozen and then they're compost. And then I put them into pots with some bone meal. Got Joni laughing about that. And then I plant them at about the depth that it says to on the package, but quite a bit closer than it says. So in a regular size pot, I'll put maybe 5 or 6 bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty close. Put them into an unheated area where they're not going to freeze, but it's going to stay really close to freezing,
mm-hmm.
And just leave them there until February or so when you start to see the little noses come up, the beginning of the bulb coming up above the ground. And then I bring them in the house, water them then, and put them under lights, and I've had just beautiful flowers.
Aww.
In my garden. I mean, in my kitchen, mm-hmm. you know, in February and March.
That'd be so
and
nice.
Into April.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
A little color in
yeah.
the house, huh?
So I've tried regular daffodils, too leggy. They don't work, and I've never had luck with crocus. Some people maybe have. But
mm-hmm.
So for me, what's really worked has been the miniature daffodils, hyacinth, which just smells so good, and tulips, and the narcissus, which
mm-hmm.
the paper whites.
Mm-hmm. And those bulbs are available in town. I've seen them.
Yeah. They're available in town. They're available online. You just always want to make sure that they haven't frozen. So, and you can tell if they've frozen because they'll be mushy feeling.
Kind of mushy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once they've had a chance to bloom, then you put the pot where they can dry down and then save the bulbs and plant them in the spring in your garden.
Oh.
And they'll take about a year off before they'll do much of anything, but then they'll come back and you'll have flowers in your garden.
Nice.
So, anyway.
Waste not, want not, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so thank you, Blythe. Just for everybody, we're collecting gardening stories to share during the winter when neither Mardell nor I can get into town. So if you have a story to tell, please let Mardell or me know. To listen to this show or to past shows, go to khns.org, Garden Conversation. Send your questions or suggest topics. You can do that on gardenconversation@khns.org. So thank
All
you, everybody.
Right. Thank you so much. That's Blythe Carter and Melissa Aronson with The Garden Conversation, which is underwritten by Jewel Gardens in Skagway in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for the gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and education. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
Have
you.
A great day.
You too.